Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower.
Good morning. This is Pastor Danielle Brown, Senior Pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. We are absolutely elated that you are worshiping with us today. Listen, if you're here in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on all of your social media pages so that everyone knows that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, we're glad that you're here too. And we ask that you would take this moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast. Share this broadcast with all of your network and then tag all of your friends and family members in the comments, because we believe that something is going to happen here at the Place of Peace that will change your lives forever and for the better. 2022 is the year that we re-engage, reclaim, rebuild, reimagine, and renew. And we are so excited that you are on this journey with us. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the Shiloh experience, which begins now.
Good morning, Shiloh. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise in the house for all of those of you who are worshiping with us online. Happy New Year. We are glad that you are here. Why don't you stand for the call to worship? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him with the sound of timbrel. Praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him from the drums. Praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Come on, put your hands together and bow with me if you will, as we ask God's blessings and his presence here with us today. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to come before you. We thank you for this, our fellowship, that we've come together to worship you. We've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord God, to lay before you all of our petitions. But before we do any of that, we've come to give you thanksgiving. We've come to give you praise. Thankful for all that you've already done. Praise for who you are. Thankful for what you are about to do. Praise that you are God, that you still sit high, but you look low, that you take care of the infirmities of these your people. Lord God, we ask that you would bless all of those who are sick among us. Put your comforting arms around those who are bereaved. And at the end of the day, Lord God, we know that they will come to you, give you glory, give you honor and thanksgiving. This is our prayer. Bless us now in worship as we worship you. It is our time to let you know how much we love you. And if all of God's people will say amen, amen, and amen, we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Come on, praise and worship with us.
Hallelujah. Truly our God reigns. He rules.
Hallelujah. And we come to give him glory. We come to give him honor on this morning. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, yeah. Say, my God reigns.
My God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign
above every name.
Say, my God reigns.
My God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign. With power and majesty,
power and majesty,
dominion and authority,
you reign.
Yeah. Say, my God reigns.
My God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign.
Power and majesty,
dominion and authority. And we declare that there is none like you in all of the earth. Hallelujah. If you believe that there is no God like our God, I need you to put in the chat right where you are. Some of you are still at home and you haven't joined us on today, but I want you to put in the chat that there is nobody like our God. Come on. And those that are in the sanctuary, I wish you would lift your hands all over the building. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We declare, we open our hearts, we open our minds, and we speak well of you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name is strength, name is power. Thank you, God. A strong tower makes me say, oh Lord, Lord our God, hey, how excellent, excellent is your name. Your name is strength, God, your name is power. A strong tower makes me say, Lord. How excellent, excellent is your name. The name is strength. Your name is power, a strong tower makes me say, oh Lord, Lord our God, how excellent, excellent is your name. Your name is strength. Your name is power, a strong tower makes me say, oh, give him glory in this place. Somebody give him glory in this place. God, we lift up your name.
Number 757-841-1415, access code 673-4192. Devotional books can be purchased through Amazon.com. Tuesday Bible Study returns on February 1st, 2022 on Zoom. Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. More information coming soon. Join us on Zoom for our Men's Fellowship monthly meeting on Saturday, January 15th at 9:30 a.m. with a prayer focus on adoration, confessing, thanksgiving, and supplication. We hope to see you there. Join Shiloh in partnership with the City of Plainfield and the Urban League of Union County for our Black Business Owners Expo on February 6th, immediately following the worship service. Vendors and guests must register by January 18th. Please visit shilohplainfield.org for more information. Sunday, February 20th is HBCU Sunday at Shiloh. Join us for our HBCU College Fair immediately following the worship service in the Cultural Arts Center. For any questions, please email bjohnson@shilohplainfield.org. Please join us in celebrating Reverend Dr. Daniel L. Brown's pastoral installation. Reception tickets and journal ads are on sale now. Please visit shilohplainfield.org/installation. Shiloh family and friends have various ways to give to Shiloh. You may text the word GIVE to 908-293-7376. Give using Zelle, online, by mail, or using Givealify, PayPal, or Cash App using the cash tag Shiloh Plainfield. For more information, please visit our church website.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody.
I don't know about you, but I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me say it again. Come, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, one more time, come on and give God praise. Give him praise. Come on, Shiloh. I've missed you for the last couple of weeks. It was just us in here preaching to cameras and singing to cameras, but seeing your faces in this place this morning has brought us joy. And so if you're glad that the Lord has brought you through another week, that he's allowed you another opportunity to gather in the presence of one another and in his presence, can you just give him some praise in this house right now? Come on, give him praise. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Those of you in the place, praise him. Those of you that are joining us online, praise him. Praise him like you're grateful that you made it, that what could have taken you out did not, but here you are. That the things that you came over and that you encountered this week, they may have caused you to stumble, but you did not fall. Here you are in the presence of the Lord. Here you are in worship. Here you are declaring, oh Lord, my God, how excellent are you in all the earth. Come on, Zion, give God some praise, a worthy praise. A worthy praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every day with the Lord is a day to be grateful. And especially, Deacon Han, I'm finding in these times, time is really filled with swift transition. And one, things can be one way one day and a whole different way another. And so when the Lord lets us gather together, when the Lord gives us breath in our bodies, and not just breath in our bodies, but the ability to get up, get dressed, come to the Lord's house, get up, get dressed, click in and log on, remember the passwords and what buttons to push, that is grounds to give God praise. There's some things that we often overlook because we're just so used to God being kind to us that we overlook them. But my prayer in this year is, Lord, help us to be grateful for the little things. Help us to be grateful, not just for the miracles that you perform, but for the everyday things like waking us up, like starting us on our way. The fact that we were able to get up and walk ourselves into church or drive ourselves in. God, we thank you. I remember being a little girl, because it wasn't that long ago. And one of the first prayers that they taught us, Christina, in Sunday school was, Lord, I thank you for the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back, for food on my table, right? I thank you for my mommy and my daddy. I thank you for grandma and grandpa. I thank you for the pastor. And we sometimes have gotten so far from just those simple prayers. But it doesn't mean that those simple things are not still grounds to cause us to run through the church, to jump up. You know, every now and then, Brother Vincent gets a run in his feet and he'll just run across everybody. But every now and then, it shouldn't just take a miraculous healing. But every now and then, we should get just as excited about, oh my goodness, I've been breathing all day. Right? Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I thank God. I thank God for another day. Shiloh, I missed you. I have missed you. You just don't know. I have missed you, but we did the right thing. We had to do the right thing, and because we love you, we did the right thing. When I called Deacon Davis, I said, Deacon Davis, listen, you know, these things, so how do you feel? This is what's happening, and this is what they're saying, and this is what schools are doing. And so, is that Bishop Calvin Brooks? Look at this. You come on down. You can bring him right to the front row. Come on, put your hands together for Bishop Calvin Brooks. That's my friend. That's my brother. It's good to see you. But without question, we wanted to do the right thing.
And so we agreed and said, all right, we'll do these 2 weeks, and then we'll come back in on the second Sunday with some increased protocols. And so we're back to every other row. And then you're seated a little distant from one another. We'll keep our masks on. I had on two. And so here we are. If you're visiting with us, will you please stand to your feet? If you're visiting with us today, could you please stand? Look at this. Please remain standing, because our ushers are going to bring you a card. They're going to bring you a form, and we're going to ask that you would fill that out. Please remain standing. If you are with us online, this is roll call time. Let us know where you are watching from. Put it right there in the comments. Let us know who you are and where you are joining us from, so that our team can greet you virtually as well. Our ministers are online right now, and they're just waiting to like your status and greet you there. But we ask that you would fill these forms out in the sanctuary, and you can drop them off in the offering basket as you go around, because we want to stay in touch with you. I am overjoyed not just to see my friend Bishop Kelvin Brooks, but also my line sister and her family. The Bailey family is here. Come on, put your hands together for them. And I'm glad to see Sister Joan Martin back there, and all of those, our deacon, a friend who is in the house today. Just put your hands together, Shiloh, for all of our visitors. Every week, I tell you, we have some folks coming in to see about Shiloh. I think that God must be doing something in this great church. What do you think? If you believe that God is doing some things in this great church, come on, put your hands together and tell God thank you that he is doing great things. We also congratulate, our own councilwoman, Joylette. They had their reorg meeting, and we just thank God that we have the saints of God are in strategic places. Amen. Amen. And for the work that they do. So let's continue to pray for her and all of our members and friends who hold public office, that we might be the light of the world in every dark place, and that God will use us to his maximum potential and desire in all of the places that we go. Can we also take a moment just to celebrate? Now, she doesn't like all of this, but I like it. I call her Saint Flora, but our deaconess Flora Williams, because we did shut down for 2 weeks, but guess what didn't shut down? Our Lord's kitchen. Guess what didn't shut down? The outreach that she leads. And guess who was here? Even when we had to head for cover, Deaconess Flora was here. So can we just put our hands together and thank God for Saint Flora and her team and the work that they all do? That's right. You can stand to your feet and thank God for the work that they do. And then even, I don't know if Sister Kim is in the house this morning, but even our housekeeping staff, Deacon Bailey and Sister Kim, and all of those who do the work behind the scenes, the things that we enjoy that we don't always see in action, we appreciate God for that. And for Deacon Banks, who keeps us connected, keeps the system going, right, so that we can stream and all of these things. Listen, we are praying. We received a thank you note from Deacon Jimmy Howard for our kindness during his time of illness, and we thank God for continued healing there. We are praying for Brother Willie and Sister Mary Tarver, who lost their sister this week, and so we are sending our prayers that way, as well as the family of Doris Tyler, our own sister Jeanette Barksdale, in the loss of her aunt Sharon Moore, in the loss of her father, and as well as her mother-in-law. And so we are just continuing to pray for those who are journeying through the valley and the shadow of death. Shiloh, we are a great church, and we know how to church. We know how to take care of one another and to have just support and all of those things. And so let's continue to that end. We're also praying for all of those who are sick and those who are looking in this direction for prayer, reminding you that we are praying Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. on the line. That is going to be the whole year, not just the first 40 days, but the entire year. We will pray 6:30 a.m. You can dial in. How many of you have enjoyed our prayer time thus far? Let's keep going. Let's keep going and let's keep growing. And we also, you heard all of the announcements that Sister Jalen put in our announcements. We also just want to highlight that you can purchase today, right? You can purchase your tickets to the pastoral installation reception. You can purchase them in person today. Those of you that are online, you can log in online and get all of the details for the pastoral installation. It's been a while, but we pushed it back trying to get away from COVID, but here we are. We will be having a pastoral installation the first weekend in March. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about it? I feel like we've been together so long, right? But here we are. We're going to do that. And I am just elated about the opportunity to have my spiritual parents, both of them, with us, Dr. Cynthia Hale and Bishop Donald Hilliard, as well as Dr. Gina Stewart, who I call Auntie Rev, and my brother in ministry. Dr. John Fazen and I were students at Virginia State University. We met one another at 5:30 in the morning. I was running 2 miles with the basketball team, and he was doing PT with the ROTC, and we've been friends ever since. And so I am elated that they will be coming to join and share with us. And so, Shiloh, we want you in the house, though. And so please get your tickets. Please don't procrastinate. Look at your neighbor and say, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. Get your neighbors. Call a friend. Telephone. Tell a friend. Say, get your tickets to the reception, because there's a limited number of people that we can have in the Cultural Arts Center, and we don't want anybody that is Shiloh left out. Amen. On an account of when they came and got the ticket. So let's go ahead and get that and do that. Is that all right? It's giving time at Shiloh. It's giving time. Come on, let's celebrate. Give me some giving music. When we call for giving, I need happy music, because God loves a cheerful giver, right? And so it's giving time at Shiloh, and we are excited about the opportunity to give. Would you please stand all over the sanctuary? Please stand all over the sanctuary. It is scripture says that if you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Scripture also tells us, and I stand on this, that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not end. And so as long as you are sowing a seed, it means that there's a harvest for you to reap. Amen. And so let's prepare to give. We have several ways to give. You can see them on the screen for those that are streaming with us. Our giving methods are listed right there on the screen. We have several of them for your convenience. But whatever you do, however you give, just make sure that you give. And Shiloh is a place of integrity. Shiloh is a place that will do the right thing with the seed that you sow. Do I have any witnesses in the house that we are a place of integrity? I don't know what you heard about other churches, but here at Shiloh, we are a place and a people of integrity. And your seed is changing and transforming the world. It's going where you will never go. It's reaching places that we will never see, and lives that we may never shake hands with. But trust and believe that when you sow here, that things are being better, that the world is being made a better place on account of your financial support. And so, Shiloh, we thank you for your generosity in this direction. Friends, we thank you for your generosity extended in this direction. Just lift your seed, lift your offering toward heaven. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you so much that everything that we have is because you gave it. That all that we have, Lord God, is because of your generosity toward us. And so, God, today, we take this moment to give back to you that which you have given to us. God, we honor your word today by bringing the whole tithe, 10% of all of our increase, into your storehouse. God, we honor your word today by bringing a seed. Now, God, we pray that you would make your biblical promise come alive in the lives of each of these your precious people. I pray, God, that you would give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, running over, cause men and women to give back to them. That, Lord God, you would give these your people favor in places they never imagined it would come from. That you, Lord God, would give them ease in places that they never thought they'd have it. And God, on account of this seed, will you do your perfect will? And we pray this prayer in Jesus' holy and matchless name, and let all God's people say amen. Come on, put your hands together. Can we rock a little bit? Can we rock? Come on. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. You're now under the direction of our amazing ushers. And remember that God loves a cheerful giver.
Let's give God some glory. How wonderful is your name. All of my life, I've never known you to fail. You remain the same, and wonderful is your name. Come on, put your hands together and just give God a praise. Happy New Year, Shiloh. We made it. We've made it. Thank God we've made it. And because we made it, you deserve it. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise. There was somebody that reached out to me on an email a couple of weeks ago. And he was telling us how much the choir and the music ministry had blessed their lives and their souls. And they were saying that they was going through something personally. And they were saying that while they was in the sanctuary, they heard us sing this particular song. And they said that they did not want to lift their hands and they did not want to praise God because they were just too burdened and too heavy. But they knew that they had to do that, and there was tears that was coming down their face, but they was really afraid to open up and to really let God use them and really let God just do anything. They was nervous, they was afraid. And so when they sent me the email, they asked, listen, I'm going through something else, and I'm asking if you can sing that song again because that song helped me that week to get through all that I had to go through. And I said that if that happened and that touched someone's life, one person, it probably helped somebody else that may need it at the same time. And I said, we are servants of God. We are here to serve the people of God. We are here to help you get through another day, whatever you need. That's going to bless your life, that's going to bless your mind, that's going to bless your soul, that's going to have healing to you. We are instructed as ministers and as singers to go forth and bless you. So why not be able to just sing the song for a request for somebody that it can help them in their lifetime? Throw out the lifeline, right? So why not just do that and just give him honor and just give God glory? And can you help us sing this song here? Can you help us? Here we go. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Yes, it is. My hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Why? You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you. Can you help us sing that in the sanctuary? My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs.
Somebody say, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
This is why. Because you deserve it. You deserve it. Hallelujah. Why don't you help us sing it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What's the highest praise? Hallelujah.
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 Yes. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. What's the highest praise? What's the highest praise? Would you give him all your praise? Would you give him all your worship? Would you give him all the glory? 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 Say hallelujah! 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 All the glory! All the honor! All the praise! My hallelujah belongs to you. Last. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Somebody give it to him.
Come on, if your hallelujah belongs to the Lord, can you give it to him? Just declare hallelujah. Come on, give him the fruit of your lips and say hallelujah. If you really believe that your hallelujah belongs to the Lord, just say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise. At this time, I'm going to ask if all of our young people, our children ages 6 to 12 would stand and go meet Minister Brian. Minister Brian, our youth minister, is over in the corner. So ages 6 to 12, I was supposed to send you over with Minister Brian during pastoral remarks, but I missed it. And so y'all hurry over. We're having children's church today. Ages 6 to 12, you can go on over with Minister Brian. Parents, you can pick them up after service. Reverend Jean is going to go over, and they'll have communion and everything as well over there. Hey, Andrew. Y'all say hey to Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew is the mayor. See, Sister Joylette, she's a councilwoman, but Brother Andrew, he is the mayor. Go ahead, Andrew. Go catch Brother Minister Brian so you can get started. He's going to assist Minister Brian over at Children's Church. Can we put our hands together for our kids? For our kids. And I want to tell you this, too. We're going to be doing some different things with the bulletin boards. And there's a bulletin board that's kind of closest to here, right next to the security desk. And I want to invite you. We're going to make that our youth prayer wall. And so I want to invite you to bring pictures of your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, and your nephews. And we will post their pictures on that wall. And throughout the week, as we're coming through the building, we will stop at that wall and we will pray for our young people. Amen. And so anybody have children in their life? Wave your hand. Some kids that live next door to you, they always run across your grass. Bring their pictures. You can email them in, or you can mail them in, or just bring them with you next week, and it will be ready for us to begin posting those pictures to that wall next week. But Shiloh, we love children here, and we are invested completely in the futures of our kids. But we also recognize that there's some things only God can do in the lives of our kids. And so that will be redesignated as our youth prayer wall. So just start to gather your pictures and be ready to put them up there. We are believing God to transform a generation. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
And I will read in your hearing verses 24 through 30. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 24 through 30. And can we thank God for our music ministry today? Sister Tina, Brother Vincent, Brother Wendell. Did y'all, at one point during praise and worship, Brother Wendell hit a key on that organ and I had to step. I almost ran over there to him and hit him. But I didn't want to do that because we don't want to be on, we don't want to go viral for the wrong reasons. But thank you all. We have an amazing band. And I thank God for each of you and for the contribution that you make to making worship amazing here. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 24 through 30, and the word of the Lord reads this way. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a sermon two in our Living That G Life series. This month we're talking about what? Generosity. What is the G Life? It's a generous life. Somebody just say generosity. And we belong to a God who has not withheld any good thing from us. In fact, we're here this morning because God woke us up and started us on our way. That even while we were traveling the parkway, the turnpike, took the bus, carpooled, rode a bike, or walked over here. However we got here today, God's angels were encamped around us, and we left home and made it here in one piece. From where I sit, y'all look pretty good. Give yourselves a hand for looking pretty good this Sunday. I mean, the Lord in his kindness has done so much for us. And if I were to go up every aisle and every row in the sanctuary today and ask each person to put their mind on rewind, I'd bet that we'd all have testimonies of how awesome God is. The testimonies would sound something like this. When I was sick, God was not slack with healing. When I got laid off, or when I got fired, because some of y'all did get fired. When I got fired and was unemployed, God did not slack with provision. In fact, I ate every day more than once, and every night I had somewhere to lay my head. Some of the testimonies might sound like 2 years into a pandemic, God provided covering and I'm still here. Indeed, God has a long history of giving us gifts without repentance. And what about that ultimate gift? The ultimate gift, the greatest expression of God's love toward humanity, God's only son, Jesus Christ, God gave him to. That while we were yet sinning, because of God's love for us, he gave us Jesus. And guess what? It didn't stop there. But whoever would believe in Jesus would have eternal life. I mean, can you just take a moment with me, Shiloh and friends, and jog your memory, put your mind on rewind, and take a moment right now to praise God for how generous God has been with you, how generous he's been with his healing, how generous he has been with his grace, how generous he has been with his mercy, how generous he has been with his loving kindness. Take a moment right now just to give God praise. See, there's no question. There's no question about the fact that God has given to us beyond measure much that we do not deserve. But it is so amazing that as much as we receive and as much as God has given, and for as grateful as we are, our output seldom reflects his input. in our text today, nestled between the triumphal entry and the plot to kill him, we find Jesus sharing the parable along these same lines. Jesus loved to speak in parables. It was his way of conveying hard truths and principles wrapped in stories that were relevant and relatable to his audience. His way of sharing kingdom in ways that would entice the hearer in search of genuine understanding to think beyond the obvious. And this one is about a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants to himself and took of his own goods and gave them to his servants. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, to another, 1 talent. To the guy that got 5, he went on about his business. He used what he had, and before long, he had doubled his talents. He had 5 more, which equaled 10. The fella who got 2, he picked up 2 more. When they saw the master again, they showed him that they doubled what they had, and the master was happy. He told them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many, and so enter into the joy of your Lord." But then here comes the fella who was given 1 talent. He comes back with that same 1 talent. Can I tell y'all a quick story? My uncle, his name is Michael. My uncle Mike, when I first started working a long time ago, not that long ago because I'm not that old, right? It was just a couple years ago when I had my first job. But the advice that my uncle Mike gave me was, Danielle, you always have to have at least $1,000 in the bank. I said, okay, great. He said, you need to save up and always have at least $1,000 in the bank as an emergency fund. Now, he was talking to a 20-year-old. And so, you know, $1,000 was like a lot of money because I had just finished living off $35 every 2 weeks as a college student. So like $1,000. So I did what my uncle told me. I saved up my $1,000. And then he checked with me a year later. And he said, "How you doing with that?" I said, "Oh, Uncle Mike, I got $1,000 still in the bank." He said, "Fool, it wasn't supposed to be the same $1,000. I, like Brother One Talent, failed to double what I had been given. And so he goes and he buries it. Not because he did not have options or opportunities to use what he had, but because he didn't try to use what he had. In fact, he took that 1 talent and he buried it and went on with life as usual. Now, obviously, the master wasn't very happy about this at all. He basically tells the servant off. He calls him a wicked and lazy servant. And the consequence was that the talent is taken from him and given to the fellow with 10. And this brother, 1 talent, is now labeled as unprofitable and condemned to the outer darkness, where it is said that there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. We may hear this story and say, "Oh man, that's cold-blooded," but the reality is many of us from the pulpit to the door are no different than brother 1 talent. A whole lot of us are here right now having received from God and know good and well that it is somewhere buried. The question today is, what are you going to do with what God gave you? That's what this G Life is all about, a life of generosity. We don't take what we freely receive and bury it or sit on it, but for as much as God has given to us, we give it away. We share it. We sow it. We do that which will return a harvest, and that which will transform the lives of other people. The gift of salvation Jesus freely gave us. And so what are you doing with it? Do you pull it out on Sunday but keep it buried for the rest of the week? Financial increase, God has been your provider, but what are you doing with the provision that God has given you? You retired now and you've got some more time on your hands. God gave you that time, but what are you going to do with it? Valuable life experiences, you've had some valuable ones, but will you just sit on the wisdom that they've shown you and never share it with somebody else? The master in the parable, he represents God. Y'all don't mind me telling you this, right? The master in the parable represents God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. He gave, and some made the most of his sacrifice. And that one, though, he did nothing. And so what are you going to do
with what God gave you. With that gift of song, that gift of helps, the gift of compassion and preaching and creativity and hospitality. You're good with children. You could mentor men and young women. Not all of us have the same gifts, but we all have something. Somebody just throw your hand in the air and say, I got something. I've got something. Not all of us have the same thing, but according to the necessity and call and purpose that God has given us to carry out his will. If God gave you two, it doesn't mean that you're less than the person who got five. It just means that the equipment that is necessary to carry out our calls is different. And when we understand this principle, then maybe there won't be so much competition and rivalry and hating in the Lord's church. Our gifts were never meant to make us competitors one with another, but no one gets anywhere when we spend more time proving who has the most and the best gifts than we do tearing down the kingdom of darkness. That's not why God gives to us so that we can compete with one another, but God gives to us so that we can destroy the works of the one who is evil, the one who is against our destiny, the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Understand that jealousy and envy and contention is not necessary, and it has no place in the work of the kingdom. Understand this, that God loves us all the same, but by virtue of our unique and individual calls, we are equipped differently. But every one of us in this room today is necessary. Say that with me. I am necessary. Type that in the comments out there. I am necessary. I am necessary. I am valued and relevant to the overall plan of God. But let me suggest to you today that this G life is not about how much you've got, but it's about what you do with what you've got that makes all of the difference. And so it's time to find what God gave you. It's time to dig it up and do something. That's my sermon title today. Come on, shout it out. Dig it up and do something. And understand this, church longevity doesn't mean you don't have digging to do. So some of us think because we've been with the Lord a long time, because we've served in certain capacities for a long time, that we don't have to do anymore, that we've kind of done everything that there is to do. But maybe you're in a season where what you've always done is not what God is calling for now. Maybe we are in a season where God is saying, you know what, you've done enough right here, but step over into this. I want you to serve in some other areas. And so that's why we're also going to outlaw this one statement. I want to outlaw this one statement for now and forever. I'm going to have a temper tantrum if I hear it again. That's not how we've always done it. Tell your neighbors, outlawed. I know that there are some good ways we've always done things, but sometimes that's what's keeping us in our one talent. So sometimes that's how we've always done it. That's why we're still getting results that find us bringing back to the master the same exact thing that he gave us, Reverend Bell. But if we try something different, who knows? Brother Al, we may be able to bring back to the master twice that the master gave us. What are you going to do with what God gave you? Now, the master was headed to a far country. But before he left, he made this transaction with his servants. He left these talents in their hands until he came back, which meant that he wouldn't be around to micromanage their every move and choice and decision. But he trusted them. Somebody say that, trusted. He trusted them to take what he gave them and make good decisions concerning it. And so when left alone, just you and your talent, what will you do with it? Can you be trusted to make good decisions with it when nobody's looking? I mean, when you're no longer in the pulpit, when you're no longer in the choir stand, when you're no longer around the church people, or when you shift from your public Facebook wall to the inbox.
When you go from that which is public to the DMs. Young people, because sometimes those are two whole different worlds. What are you going to do with what God gave you when you're left to your own devices? Two of the servants went on about their business, but one of them decided to act like he had not been given anything. One of them, when the master left, decided to bury what had been so freely given to him. And do you know that every time we do something that is contrary to the plan of God concerning our lives, we are throwing dirt on our talent? Sin. Somebody say sin. Y'all didn't know that still exists. It's the number one cause of buried gifts. But because God has so freely given, so freely laid his all on the line for us, if we're going to maximize what God has given us, we are going to have to take our cue from him and also lay it all out there. A buried gift will never yield a return. What am I talking about? Well, the reason some of us are struggling financially is because we buried our gifts too long. See, your increase is in the ground with your gift. But today is a good day. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you logged in, because today is the day that we tell you that it's time to dig it up and do something. Some of the areas of your life where you are most utterly frustrated, may I recommend to you that you evaluate the expression of your gift in dealing with that issue. And the question today is, what G life are you living? Are you living the generous one or the greedy one? Is your gift being put to work, or is it being buried? Buried because you deemed it insufficient to bring about change or make an impact. Insufficient because you've compared what you have to what somebody else had, and it looked like from your limited view that what you had was too little in the midst of too much. My brothers and my sisters, it is time for you to dig it up and do something. Dig up your gift so that God can use it. And here's another thing, I note that the returns were in proportion to what they received in the first place. Stay with me. Y'all still with me? Wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care if you're still with me. You may be in here today saying, well, Dr. Brown, this is just too much. I'm already being pulled in every direction possible. I already feel like I'm trying to do too much, and it seems like God requires more of me than I can possibly give. But guess what, Shiloh and friends? God only requires of you as much as you have been given. Let me say that again, because I don't think you got it. God only requires of you as much as you have been given. God does not require of you more than God has already put in you. But y'all don't mind if I just take my time, right? I won't take too much time, but I won't take my time just to make sure that you get this. Are we all right, Sydney? Am I right? Am I right, Sydney? Okay. All right. But be very careful not to fall into the trap of wanting more than you are willing to give. Rather than be grateful for what we've been given, we use what we don't have as justification for doing less than we should. Don't worry about how much and how little, but look at your neighbor and say, use what you got. Use what you've got. Type it in the comments. Use what you've got. Back to Brother One Talent. Brother One Talent, notice that he does not misuse his talent. Recognize there is no scandalous story behind what he did with his talent while his master was away. But out of fear that he would lose it or someone would steal it, he buried it and no one benefited. The safest route is not always the best route. The safest route is not always the best route. Let me say it one more time for your mind. The safest route is not always the best route. And if you want any degree of success in this life, in ministry, anything, we are going to have to take some risks. There are some things that we're going to have to do and work with despite the fear that we have on the inside. Some decisions we'll have to make knowing full well this can really go either way. But here is the other thing that we see in the text. Brother One Talent obviously knew that he had not done the right thing. Deacon Davis, here's why. He gives an account for his one talent, and he does not first give his account. The first thing out of his mouth is an excuse. He doesn't just show up and say, hey, I buried it. He shows up excuse first. And so just because you have an excuse doesn't mean there won't be consequences. And fear is never a good enough excuse for inertia when it comes to doing something with what God has given us. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So anything God didn't give you is not powerful enough to stop you. Somebody say, as of today, I will not allow fear to paralyze me. And notice that the first thing that he does, though, is indict the master. The same master who freely gave of his own and trusted him to do the right thing with it while he went to the far country. The same master who had very likely taken his past. Now his witness concerning the master is negative. Now, when the master was giving out talents, he didn't say a mumbling word about how hard he was or about how he reaped where he had not sown and gathered where he had not sown seed, Bishop Brooks. But now that it's time to give an account for what was done with what he has given, he points his finger at the master's flaws. You can release a bad report all you want, but when it comes to not using what God has given you, there is no one to blame but you. And yes, I know you may have had a rough way of it. You might have had a rough childhood and you blame God for that. And we get it. Your teachers did not believe in you. Your dad was not there and you blame God for that. But when it comes to putting to use what God gave you, this parable teaches us that there is no excuse, that there is no justification. Just like God giving of the gift wasn't contingent upon anyone else, you doing something with it should not be either. And at some point, as we all attempt our best to grow in God, we've got to stop blaming God for why we have not done what God has required. Stop blaming the church. We know that there's hypocrites. We know the church is imperfect. We also know that we are all in need of grace, and that even with these truths, whatever the church is and whatever the church is not an excuse for you sitting on your gifts. This is when you'll know that you've matured, no matter the first resort. So the master says, even, listen, if that was the case, you should have put my money in the bank. That way it would at least collect some interest and I'd have more. But get this, the gift of God on your life is not solely for God's benefit. Did y'all hear me? The gift of God in your life is not solely for God's benefit. In fact, God will still be God whether you use it or not. Whether you ever sing in the Lord's church, God will be God. Whether you ever usher or dance or tithe or volunteer, God will still be God. But when God gives you a gift, it is also for your benefit. Do you know that there is benefit to you in this journey with God? Sometimes we overlook the fact that there is a blessing in this walk with God, that some of what we do for God and what God gives us is not just for kingdom benefit, but there's also personal benefit. And diligence and faithfulness have their reward. Notice when brother 5 talents and brother 2 talent come back and report their increase, the master does not ask for it back. He doesn't request a cut. They keep it all. They keep it all, and they're also given access to more. What does more mean? More means more resources, a greater place and space, and deeper relationship with the Lord. Mr. One Talent comes in with an excuse. He hid the talent, but what bugs me all the way out about this, Deacon Davis, is that he's labeled as wicked. The guy who did nothing is labeled as wicked. The lazy guy was called wicked. and he was cast into darkness where there would be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, this bugs me out because of this. All this time we've been concerned that it was the fornicators and the liars and adulterers and Beyonce and Jay-Z and Illuminati and all those people were going to hell in gasoline drawers. But the sin of saying that you're saved and not living like it, the sin of doing nothing was greater than all of that. We thought that it was the people in society that we just don't like. But according to this parable, the sin of doing nothing with what God has given you is on the same level of all that other stuff. The sin of doing nothing. The sin of looking like an angel in church and living like something else the rest of the week. The sin of saying that you're a child of God but going through the week and not living like it. Receiving the gift of eternal life and burying it in the ground. And here is what we learn, that everybody who is faithful over little will receive much. But if you're not, you'll end up with less than what you started out with. We learn that we can no longer walk around with buried gifts, but it's time to dig them up and do something. Why does all of this matter? Well, here it is. Today we talked about this parable concerning a fellow traveling to a far away country and his servants who he left some things to work with while he was away. But this story is reflective of a greater story, a real true story about a fellow who died on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And before he died, he told his people, he told his disciples, "You see me now, but after a while, you'll see me no more." He told them, "Where I go, you will eventually go also. But in the meantime, I leave you well equipped to handle your business here until I return. And just in case you need a little help, I'll send you a helper, the Holy Spirit." But just like his story didn't end on the road to Calvary, just like it did not end on a tree on Golgotha's hill, just like his story did not end in that borrowed tomb, his story didn't end with the resurrection. But my brothers and my sisters, that same Jesus is coming back again, and he's coming back, and he's coming back very soon. And when he comes back, every single one of us will have to give an account for what we did with what he gave us. Now I'm so glad that I don't have to give an account for your five or for your two, but I do have to give an account for what I did with my one. And I wonder, is there anybody in here today or anybody out there who will say, when Jesus comes back, I will have multiplied my gift? I am determined not to present to him the same thing that he gave to me. I want to be found faithful over a few things, because he will make me ruler over many. Is there anybody in here who will say, I buried some stuff that God gave me, but as of today, I'm gonna dig them up and do something? No, Jesus won't bear this cross alone and all the world go free, but there is a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And so I am no longer gonna allow fear and excuses and envy and jealousy for what others have caused me to be unprofitable to God. But Jesus is coming back, and we'll all have to give an account for what we've done with what he gave us. So my brothers and my sisters, it's time to grab your shovels and start digging. Dig up your dreams. Dig up your ideas. Dig up your visions. Dig up your gifts that you've buried for so many years. Dig it up and do something, and trust God with what you've got. After all, he gave it to you in the first place. Dig it up and do something. Have faith, knowing that God is faithful to the faithful. Dig it up. Dig it up. Dig it up and do something. And don't you worry about your ability to sustain. Don't you worry about failure. Don't
you worry about uncertainty, but put your trust in the one who gave it in the first place. Dig it up and do something, and don't fret that it isn't enough. It may not be what God gave somebody else, but it's yours. Somebody shout, but it's mine, and I'm gonna dig it up and do something. There are songs and service and signs and wonders that are waiting on you. So dig it up and do something, because just like his story is not over, your story isn't over either. And what you see now is not all that God has for you to see. So dig it up and do something, because no one knows the day or the hour when he shall come. And so you've got to live every day, every hour, ready. Dig it up and do something. A charge to keep, I have a God to glorify, to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all, my powers engage to do my master's will. Dig it up and do something, because the world needs what God has given you. Is there anybody in here who understands that it's time to start digging? Dig it up. Do something. Dig it up. Do something. Dig it up. And do something. Dig it up. Some of us have things that have been buried for so long that we think they're no longer of value. You have dreams and ideas and visions and business plans that you threw to the side because somebody told you this isn't, that'll never be anything. But can I tell you this, that if people didn't give you that idea, they don't get the right to write it off. If they say no, you say next. Go somewhere else and present the plan. But don't you give up. Don't you bury what God has given you in the ground. What God has given you standing all over the sanctuary. Please stand to your feet all over the sanctuary. We're getting ready to go. But what God has given you, you've got to use it. 2022, I hope I annoy some of y'all to no end. Some of you that have been comfortable just sitting in the pews. Some of you that have been comfortable doing what you've always done. I say, no, come on. Reverend Thorpe is going to help me. I won't annoy you by myself. Teamwork makes the dream work. Because God has put so much in you. So much more than what you've seen. And I want to see us all flourish. I want to see us all live the G life. A life of generosity, because not only does the kingdom benefit, but because you benefit. And as long as your gift and talent is in the ground, not only does the kingdom go lacking, but you also don't get to live in the fullness that God has for you. I hope you hear me and hear the sincerity of my heart, is that I want all of us to maximize everything that God has put in us. All of us. But it starts with us making the resolve that I'm not taking my stuff and burying it in the ground, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to multiply. Whatever it takes to maximize what God has given me, so that when I have to give an account before the master, because how many of you know we all will, we don't preach that stuff in the newfangled church.
But God, Jesus has come back again, and we're going to have to give an account for what we did in the meantime. And I don't know about you, but I want to hold up the line. I want them to say, enough. Enough, all right? We have some other people that are trying to get in. I want the list of things to be so long, Deacon Bailey, that when we all get to heaven, the ushers are saying, Pastor Brown, please go. You're in the way. We got to seat people. That should be your desire too. And the beautiful thing about the God that we serve is that God is no respecter of persons. We can all have a long list. And then here's this really important thing, is that it's easy to want the benefits of a God who gives so freely and generously to us. But you can't have those benefits without first being in relationship with this God. Right? We call that being saved. Now, the beauty of it is that Scripture does not tell us we have to be perfect in order to be saved. Scripture doesn't tell us that we have to stop all of our bad habits in order to be saved. I want to contend that some of the habits we have will never stop without the help of Jesus. And so in church lingo, we would call this opening the doors of the church or extending the invitation for salvation. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to choose Jesus. If you're here today and you're not saved, what do I mean? Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth, that is a public confession, the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart, it's that simple. You confess what you believe in your heart, that he's Lord, that he lived, he died, and then he got up again with you in mind, then you shall be saved. There's another scripture that just simply says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I want to be in relationship with this Jesus who so freely gives to me. This Jesus who can make my whole life brand new. This Jesus who looks beyond all of my faults and still keeps showing up at the place of my need. If you're here and you want to be saved today, will you come and meet us at the altar? Hey, baby girl. Is there another? Man, woman, boy, girl. Oh God, I thank you. For the children. Will you come? Don't let anything prevent you from coming to Jesus. Don't let your past. You aren't the only person to come to Jesus and have a drug addiction. You're not the only person to come to Jesus who had some problems. Come on. Don't let anything keep you from Jesus. And then here's the second call. If you're here today and you want to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, the heart of this church is open and we are waiting for you. We're not perfect. We probably never will be. But we are a loving and sincere church. Is there another? Oh, yes. Is there another? Give myself away. You want to be a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church, and you might be online. We had a family join online last week, they sent us an email and said, we want, since church was closed, we still wanted to join. And Deaconess Banks got that email and reached out. And so if you are online and you want to join the Shiloh Baptist Church, just let us know in the comments. You can shoot us an email, officeassistant@shilohplainfield.org, and we'll take you in too. But the church is growing. This church is growing. The Lord has been faithful to us that even in the midst of a pandemic where it seems that almost every other week there's news of another church closing down, mega churches having to sell their property and go virtual only because of the impact of a pandemic or declining a membership, and yet, Shiloh, here we are. Here we are. The seasoned and the young are joining. Children coming to the altar to say they want to be saved, and then their families just coming behind them to join the church. Excuse me, but you'll quickly learn. That you have a pastor who's just grateful.
That's right.
Grateful that God has not forgotten us. Grateful that God is still breathing on this house. That God trusts us with souls. So if I cry a little, if I get a little full. That's why. I don't take you for granted or the things that God is doing in our midst. Deaconess Banks, do you have a number? Do we have a number of our new members in the last 3 months off the top of your head? About 15 that we've confirmed. Is that including children and whole families, or? That's good. So we thank God. We thank God. Invite your friends. We're getting ready to go. Come on, Brother Wendell. We were closing today with the hymn. We are closing today with the hymn. Yeah, we are. I want to encourage you this week to invite someone to worship with us. If you don't mind inviting someone, just raise your hand, show of hands, and not someone who's already a member, right? Deacon Bailey, don't invite me to worship. I'm going to be here already. Oh, communion. I'm sorry. It's second Sunday. Let us prepare our hearts. You may be seated. As our deacons come, they're going to slide the table up. Do y'all like our new tablecloth? New things every week when you look around.
It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day
today, it will never lose its power. Come on, church, help me. Somebody say, it reaches to the high. And it flows, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, oh the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never his power. Oh, it reaches mountains, and it flows to the lowest, lowest. Oh, yes. Oh, oh the blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. For me, oh, one day when I was lost, he died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood. Help me sing it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Break it down, though it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood just for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
Come on. If you know that it was the blood for you, can you just stretch your hands toward heaven and tell God thank you for the blood? On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he was gathered with his disciples at the table. They were having a fellowship. It's customary in that time was to gather together, and they'd really be lounging. They weren't sitting at the table in the way that we sit at our table, but they were actually reclining around the table. Around the table was a whole range of people. At the table was the disciple whom Jesus loved. At the table was Judas. At the table was Peter, who had, you know, we know he had a little anger problem, a little anger management, a little cussing. Some of y'all identify with Peter. At the table even was Thomas, who ultimately, on the other side of all of this, would be the one to doubt. He had some faith issues. Did this really happen? He was questioning some things. There were all kinds of people at that table with Jesus. And today, January the 9th, 2022, there's all kinds of people gathered at the table. But you know what the blessing of coming to the table of Christ is that he makes room for all of us and our stuff. And that the sacrifice that we come to remember on this day, communion, every time we do it, the sacrifice was for every one of us. There's no sin that is too great for this sacrifice. There's no ailment that is too strong for this sacrifice. It was for all and once and for all. And so as we gather at this table, we pause for a moment to simply take a look at our own lives. We take a moment to repent. Scripture also says that many people took communion and their hearts weren't right. They were in the wrong condition, and for that cause, many were sick and even fell asleep. And so we always want to examine ourselves when we come to the table, to ask God to forgive us of any sins. Today, obviously, joining us at the communion table is our assistant pastor, Reverend Sheila Thorpe. But I've also invited my good friend, Bishop Kelvin C. Brooks, who I did not know was coming, but since the bishop came in the house today, I've asked if he would share in the table with us today. Shiloh, I want you to know that sometimes you'll see unfamiliar faces. I know a range of unfamiliar faces, and the ones that aren't any good, they'll never make it this far. On my honor, I promise. And so we welcome you, sir, and thank you. But let's take a moment to just take a deep breath and to examine ourselves as we prepare to share in Holy Communion. And now, God, we thank you for this communion. We ask that you would transform these elements from a natural use to a spiritual one. And God, even as we do this in remembrance of you, I pray that you would quicken us, quicken our mortal bodies, and remind us, Lord God, of the sacrifice that you made. And in this communion moment, let it not just be routine, but Lord, let the miraculous happen even in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
For I have received from the Lord that which also was delivered unto you, that on that night when Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. For the remission of sins, take and eat.
And in the like manner, after he had blessed it, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood that is shed for you. There can be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. You may drink.
Body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Jesus shed for you. May the peace of the Lord be with each of you. Will you share a sign of peace with your neighbor, an expression of peace with your neighbor? Say, the peace be with you, or a peace sign. Hey, peace sign works, a sign of peace, but declare peace over the life of your neighbor. We're getting ready to go home. Come on, Brother Wendell, come on, choir, lead us in our hymn today.
Stand for the hymn as we depart from this place. I am thine, O Lord. Stands one. I am thine.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.
Draw me nearer,
draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. That's to consecrate me now.
servants, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with the steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thy glory nearer. Help us sing it. For there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer. Call me near, nearer to thy presence. One more time, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer, nearer. Thou hast died.
Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with all of you now, henceforth, and forevermore. And may Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, Shiloh, and serve the Lord with gladness.
To thy prayer.